It comes out in our time of prayer that we realize something of how precious we are to God, the wonderful privileges that are ours, and we've been reminded most forcibly of that wonderful thought of the compassion of our God. There's a lovely hymn that says, His compassions, they change not. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's just commit the study of His word to us. Loving Heavenly Father, we do want to give Thee thanks that we have Thy word in front of us. We thank Thee for that measure of liberty that we still enjoy in this country, that we can meet together like this. We have Thy word in front of us, and we pray for those who tonight are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Lord, be especially with them. May they be especially aware of that lovely compassion that You have for people, and especially for Your own. And so, our God, as we read Thy word, we pray Thou will bless it to our hearts. Teach us wonderful things out of Thy law, that, Lord, we may be increasingly the people that You want us to be. For we pray and we give our thanks in Jesus' lovely and wonderful name. Amen. Well, I made it quite plain, I hope, last week that I wanted to continue this week speaking about the wonderful thought of the resurrection. When I was coming in, Sydney here met me out in the car park and he said, can you remind me of what you spoke about last week? And then we spoke about how you get older and things suddenly go from your, not suddenly, they go from your mind. But as soon as I mentioned the resurrection, Sydney began to remember some of the things that I said. Oh, that can't be bad, can it? I hope it can't be bad anyway. But I want to continue with this lovely thought of the resurrection that the Lord Jesus had Himself, but what He's promised to us. That glorious day when, even if we're dead, we shall be made alive again, and if we're alive and living, we shall be caught up to be with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the glorious hope. Sydney told me that he's reached the age where he feels he'll die in the not too distant future. He said he might have 5 or 10 years. Well, I reminded him that I passed my 3 score years and 10, but I'm not expecting to die. I'm expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to return. Got that wonderful feeling. Now, I know I might be wrong, and it doesn't worry me because I'm living in the enjoyment that it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, it doesn't matter. I know when He comes, I'm ready for Him. I want to see Him. I long to look into His lovely face. And I feel that was amongst our thinking here this evening as we've been praying. I'd like to read just a couple of verses out of the Word of God. I want to read, first of all, in the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, and the first chapter, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, and there Paul writes, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. To all the saints who are in Philippi together with the bishops and deacons. And then go over into chapter 3 and a couple of verses there, starting at verse 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. What wonderful thoughts there are there. One of the first things that I want to really major on is our citizenship. I think in many of the versions it's our conversation. Well, I won't argue with different versions of the scripture. I like to think of citizenship. I think this is Scofield's Bible I'm reading from. But the thought of being a citizen of heaven, that's my privileged position. And the reason I wrote that or brought that out is that you go back to the first verse, you've got there Paul is talking about the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. People in Philippi were living in a Roman colony, and a Roman colony was governed by the Romans in a very special way. The magistrates, all those in authority, were from Rome itself, and so it was a very Roman type of area, city. It was there. And if you remember, I'm sure you do, that Paul, when he was going to be flogged because he'd been taken prisoner or stopped from the people stoning him, he speaks to the captain of the guard who was authorizing his flogging. He said, "Is it lawful to flog a man who is a Roman?" And the captain of the guard had to say, "No, it's not." And he was afraid. And then he said to Paul, "How do you get your citizenship?" And Paul, he said, "I paid a great price for my citizenship." And I think that's a wonderful lesson for us. But Paul could say, "I was born a Roman citizen." It was a rite of birth. Now I think there's a wonderful sense in which you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our citizenship is not in Rome, not even in England. I don't think we are citizens in this country, are we? I think we're subjects of the Queen. But I don't want to go into that, that's a political issue. I believe that I'm a citizen of heaven, and I'm there by two things. I'm there because I've been born again into the citizenship of heaven, but more than that, a price has been paid for my citizenship, a price I couldn't possibly afford, but it's been paid by that most wonderful person, my Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a price he paid that you and I should claim, be able to claim, citizenship in heaven. And if that doesn't thrill your soul, then I don't think you should be sitting here this evening. You should be going back and finding out just where you stand on these issues. The fact that we are citizens of heaven, that's what God has given to us. It's such a tremendous privilege. And it goes on to say, from there we're looking for our Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for him to come. And what a redemption that will be. What a resurrection we're talking about there. He talks about changing that vile body, or that body of humiliation. There's all sorts of phrases that different people put into there. But as we talk together, I think Ron mentioned in prayer, we are conscious that as years pass by, we begin to notice the aches and pains that hit us. It's a fact of life. It's something that happens, that our bodies are a body of humiliation. And there's so much more one could say about these tremendous facts. But we are so privileged as being citizens of heaven. And from there, we're looking for our Lord Jesus to return. And what a wonderful thought that is. You know, we don't know what a day is going to bring. I plan to be here tonight. I've got other things I've planned for the days in the future, if God spares me and if he tarries. But I'm quite prepared, and I certainly know that I can't bank on it. We were reminding ourselves only last week that a few weeks ago there were people going about their business in Cumbria, and a gunman goes mad. And before you know it, a number of people are ushered into eternity. Over this past weekend, a similar event has taken place. And the prospects are, this is going to go on. We read of people, day by day, being ushered into eternity. We don't know what a day is going to bring. But we do know, one day Jesus Christ is going to come. And we should be looking for that. We should be expecting it. It's wonderful for those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus to know that the whole of our life is bound up in the life of Christ. Everything about us must have some reflection about what Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. I believe firmly, or I know there's no other option but to live, his first coming brought us salvation. Because if he hadn't come, there could be no salvation. It was necessary for a Saviour to be found. And we know very well from our Bibles, we go right back at the beginning, as soon as sin came into this world, the promise was made that there was going to be a Redeemer. A Saviour was going to come. And so his first coming brought us salvation. And then it delivered us from the wrath of God. You and I deserve the absolute wrath of God. We're conscious that so many people blame God for things that go wrong. And they say, where was God when certain things happened? But let's ever remind ourselves that our God, and we've had this brought before us, our God has compassion.
He reaches out to where the problems are. He meets us in our needs. And so that wonderful coming of our Lord delivered us from the wrath of God. And we still live because he lives. I like to think of that. What would life be without the Lord Jesus? I've got friends or neighbours who know nothing about the Lord Jesus. And all they ever think about, it seems to me, they spend a lot of time talking to us and they don't want to talk about Jesus. We're still looking for that opportunity to speak to them. They know what we do, why we do it. But all they ever think about is what they can buy, what they can have. They must have this, that and the other. And they've got to have it immediately. Well, one thing we can be certain of is that a Christian has salvation the moment we ask Jesus to be our Saviour. We don't have to go through any long understanding of things. It's just a case of taking him at his word and coming into the blessing that he wants us to enjoy. I believe emphatically that we're happiest, at least I am, I hope you are as well, when I can spend time thinking about him, looking at him, seeing the things we find in his word that encourage us in our Christian experience. And isn't it lovely to think that there is going to come a completion of our salvation? We'll be delivered, and it says it here, from this poor, vile body, the body of humiliation. Now that challenges us. That was his first coming. He's delivered us from sin. I know that my sins are all forgiven. Sidney doesn't mind, but he said he thinks that God still winks or occasionally winks at certain things that are wrong. We have a long discussion about that, Sidney, but I know what you mean. There is indeed a sense in which God does overlook things. Paul spoke about him, whilst he was in ignorance, God overlooks things. I do think God demands repentance and real repentance when we realise we've done something amiss. It is not a carte blanche to go on. Paul makes it very plain. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, says Paul. It's not the way to go forward. We need this thought of constant repentance, day by day committing to God the things that have gone wrong in our life. Edna and I, if we go to bed, invariably look over the day that we've just travelled through, and I trust most of us do the same. And we look at those things and we're just so thankful that my God knows more about me and my wife and all of us than we know ourselves. And I know he loves me just the same. We think of the chorus, we don't often sing it together. The greatest love is the person who knows the worst about you but loves you just the same. And that's how the Lord Jesus is with those of us who know and love him. He knows the worst about us and he loves us just the same. But this second coming, what a glorious thought. It will be a salvation from the grave itself. Now I've already said there'll be those of the Lord's people who will not go to the grave. I'm sure of that. It must be so, because Jesus said when he returns will he find faith on the earth. But he also said those who are alive and remain, or Paul tells us it, will not precede those who have gone on before. There is this wonderful resurrection.